Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Now, what's the next thing? The Lord Jesus comes back from heaven with his saints that he raptured 7 years before for the honeymoon on earth. And he reigns for 1,000 years, Revelation 20, verse 4. He's then recommissioned, 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28, and continues his reign on earth forever and forever.
That's popular Bible teacher Jack Van Impe. He's got chapter and verse. He has them in rapid succession. Why would you question if it says there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, that Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years, that it isn't going to be exactly what Jack Van Impe says it is, a 1,000-year reign of Christ, after which the rest of the script of the end time scenario will play itself out. Now, this is a case where you can understand why someone might misunderstand it. Looking there in Revelation chapter 20, two references to 1,000 years, reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. And you say, why wouldn't that be 1,000 years? And many Christians throughout the history of reading the book of Revelation have actually believed that it would be a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ. They disagreed over when the other events would occur in relationship to it, but mostly a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ. But is that the right reading? Is that the best reading of this chapter of the book of Revelation? Joining us to respond to evangelical proof text, Revelation 20, verses 1 through 7, a 1,000-year reign of Christ, Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
What's the predominant view today in pop American evangelicalism?
Well, this 1,000 years is known as the millennium, and there's probably three views on it. The main one is what we call premillennialism, and that is going to be the default view for evangelicals and American Christianity. Now, it's strange because it's a minority view in church history, and the particular view that American evangelicals have is even more distinct from any sort of historic understanding of the text. But it is so prevalent in American evangelicalism, this idea of the end times, that Jesus will come back before this 1,000 years mentioned here in Revelation 20, and he will establish an earthly kingdom, that most evangelicals don't even know that there's other views or other ways to read this particular text here.
Okay, so they're looking at it as, at some point in the course of the end times, there is going to be a return of Christ to reign on earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, 1,000 calendar years.
Exactly, that's right. And the way that most evangelicals will read that text is it's premillennialism, but it's modified. It's something called dispensational premillennialism. So it has a This 1,000-year reign has a distinctly Old Testament or Jewish flair. Some will teach that, in fact, Jack Van Impe, who you led in with, will teach that Jesus will rule on the rebuilt throne of David, that he will oversee sacrifices in the rebuilt temple, which is, I mean, just amazing to imagine, and that the people who live in the millennium, in the 1,000-year kingdom, will be two sorts. You'll have Christians who were raptured and then brought back in their resurrected bodies, and then you have mostly the Jewish people who were converted in the tribulation, and they're all kind of intermingling together in this strange new world of the millennial kingdom.
And what's the purpose, in that viewpoint, the premillennial dispensationalism, what's the purpose of this 1,000-year reign?
Well, this is a tricky question, and it's a moving target. But one of the things that the dispensationalists will say about their overarching theology is that the purpose of history is God's glory and not man's salvation. So different dispensationalists will have different outlines of history, but the most prevalent is that there are seven major dispensations. This means seven major ways that the Lord will work in history. And the Old Testament, for example, was the dispensation of the law, where the Lord was dealing with Moses and the descendants of Abraham. The church is the dispensation of grace. And then the millennial kingdom is the dispensation of glory, where Jesus is ruling and reigning on a physical kingdom here on earth.
Are there people being converted during that 1,000 years?
Well, everyone starts a Christian. This is the really tricky thing. Everybody starts a Christian and or a believer in Jesus, but because you have kind of two different states of humanity, so you have resurrected Christians, and they're not married and they don't have children, but then you have the Jewish people who are converted in tribulation. They have children. The text in Isaiah that says the children, if they die at 100 years old, they'll die young. They take that to be a description of the offspring of the converted Jewish people in the millennium. And after you go for 1,000 years, there's apparently a few of these children of children of children of the original people that made it into the tribulation that will lose their faith, and they will become unbelievers, and those are gathered together on the last day, in the last days of the millennium, by the devil who's loosed, and he gathers together an army for one last assault on Jesus. So no one becomes a Christian during the millennium, but there are some people who fall away from the faith during the millennium, and they become part of the armies gathered at Armageddon.
One more thing. You said that according to some dispensationalists, Jesus reigns from Jerusalem and oversees the reinstituted sacrificial system of animals.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that nuts? You hear that and you think that people can't really actually think that that's going to happen. I mean, it's so antithetical to everything of the gospel. But remember, the gospel in the dispensational mind, and now this also is. I mean, remember, this is a constantly changing and moving target, this dispensationalism. So, I mean, it was more extreme 100 years ago, and it's constantly being muted to sound more normal. But 50 years ago, the dispensationalists will talk about how Jesus came to establish an earthly kingdom. That was his plan. It was Jesus' intent to come into Jerusalem, to overthrow the Romans, to establish the throne of David there in Jerusalem, and rule and reign there. But when the people rejected him, then Jesus switched to plan B. That's the dispensational language. And plan B is the cross and resurrection. So plan A was an earthly kingdom. Plan B was to die for the sins of the world. Now, when Jesus comes back, he's gonna make sure that plan A happens no matter what, and that's this millennial kingdom.
Now, there is another view, and we'll be kind of working our way toward it. There's another view that is, albeit a minority view, in church history, but it is one to which both you and I ascribe here, usually called amillennialism. That's an inaccurate way of describing it. You say realized millennialism. What is it?
Yeah, this is the understanding that instead of understanding this 1,000-year time period as the time after Jesus returns, is that we can understand in the book of Revelation that what this 1,000 years is actually talking about is the church. The time between the ascension of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, and that is a beautiful understanding of the text. And I think when we consider this text in context, it's the only biblical way to understand the text. But there are probably two major objections to it, and the first is, but it says 1,000 years, and the church has been around for at least 1,970 something years. And then the second major objection is that the way that Revelation describes this 1,000 years is that it's a time of the devil being bound. And people say, hey, look around. Obviously the devil isn't bound. So I think if we can ask those questions, what does the rest of the Bible say about 1,000 years? And what does the rest of the Bible say about the binding of the devil? Then this text comes into a beautiful and wonderfully sharp focus.
All right, so let's look at 1,000 years with about a minute or so before we go to our break. Where do you begin with, I mean, how would you describe the general usage of 1,000 years in the Bible?
Well, I think my favorite text to look at is Psalm 50, verse 10. This is this great psalm about prayer, and the Lord says, the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. And then the Lord says, this is a great joke, really. He says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. In other words, you do not bring me your sacrifice, thinking that you're feeding me or somehow satisfying me. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof. Now, the Lord uses the phrase, the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. And we simply have to ask the question, well, who do the cattle on 1,001st hill belong to? And the answer, well, they obviously belong to the Lord, too. So that this phrase, 1,000, is used to describe the fullness of the hills. Same is true with, for example, Psalm 105, where it says, the Lord has mercy on to 1,000 generations of those that love me. Well, that also is, it means to every generation. So that's the general usage of 1,000 in the Bible.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We'll take a break here, and when we come back, 10 more minutes with him, responding to the evangelical proof text of Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. It is said it teaches a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ. We will continue walking through the biblical material on how the number 1,000 is often used. Also, numbers in the book of Revelation are used in a symbolic fashion. And we'll arrive at the amillennial position in about 10 minutes with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A great Mother's Day gift, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The believers will remain on earth as mortals to repopulate the earth for the 1,000-year kingdom. The unbelievers are going to be cast off of the earth. The rapture has to be something distinct from the coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation, where he comes to put down all who have attacked his people.
That's Hal Lindsey with another little twist on the popular teaching in evangelicalism of the literal 1,000-year reign of Christ. We're responding to evangelical proof text with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Folks, we currently have listeners coming from 33 states and from two states, provinces, in Canada to next month's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The conference is Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June the 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. That's only 15 miles east of St. Louis. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teaching on the early church fathers, postmodernism, biblical archaeology, the historical Jesus, vision casting leaders in the church and the difference between men and women and creation, all there at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100. It includes three meals Friday night and two on Saturday. There's child care provided for $35. That also includes those meals as well. You can register online and also find out more issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can call Craig and ask him to help you register. He'll answer your questions as well. 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Send Craig an email, craig at issuesetc.org. Registration is limited to 400 people. It's next month. That means if you're thinking about going, if you're wanting to go, you need to register now, issuesetc.org. Brian, let's walk through some more of the how the Bible uses this number 1,000 or 1,000 years. Where would you take us next?
There are three places in the Bible where 1,000 years is used, and I think that they're all related. Now, the first is this Psalm 90 of Moses, and this is the... It's a famous psalm. It's the oldest psalm. It's the only psalm that Moses wrote. It's here in Book 4, the beginning of Book 4 of the Book of Psalms, and it's a profound psalm. We read this psalm here at Hope when we are closing the casket before a funeral, and it's been used in connected with funerals and with people who are dying in the church for a long time. And verse 4 says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night." So 1,000 years is like a day, and then even less, 1,000 years is like a watch in the night. That's 3 hours or 6 hours. For the Lord, 1,000 years, which in the Bible stands as the age that man never attained. I mean, even the oldest man, Methuselah, was, 969 years old? He never got to 1,000, even though you got to figure once you hit 950, everyone's wondering, is this going to be the one that makes 1,000? But nobody ever lives that long. I mean, it's an amazing thing to think of that length of time, and yet for the Lord, it's just a snap. It's a day. It's nothing. And so man's greatness is as nothing to the Lord. The way that the Lord processes time is completely different for us. So this epoch is to the Lord nothing. Now, that's Psalm 90, the only use of the 1,000 years in the Old Testament. Now, Peter quotes that verse, and this would be the second use of 1,000 years in the Bible, in 2 Peter 3:8. Now, this is an amazing thing to me. Peter, 2 Peter especially, is talking about the return of Jesus. And Peter says, look, the Lord is not slow, as some are in the habit of thinking slackness. Here, I'll start in 2 Peter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which now exist, are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Peter is using that Psalm 90 and that phrase, 1,000 years, to describe the time of the Lord's patience between the ascension of Jesus and his second coming. Now there we would say, hey, Peter, it's not a literal 1,000 years. It's been 1,900 years at least. And he would say, well, that's the point. I mean, the Lord is incredibly merciful. He's almost boundless in his mercy, waiting patiently for those who would be saved to be saved before the end of the world comes. Now, I think, and this is my own thought on this, so, you know, take it or leave it, but I think that when John is describing the millennium, the 1,000 years, and having this vision of that, that he is using the 1,000 years in the same exact way that Peter uses it, as a description of the Lord's patience between the ascension of Jesus and the second coming. But even if John isn't using it that way, we at least see that in every place that the Bible uses 1,000, and every place that it uses 1,000 years, it is not to be taken literally, but to be understood as the entirety of the thing that it's describing.
How important is it for us to take note of and to understand the other event that's described here in those first 7 verses of chapter 20 in Revelation? That is the binding of Satan.
Well, this is the key, because the 1,000 years here in Revelation 20 begins with the binding of the devil. And so if we can say to ourselves, if we can just simply ask the question, does the Bible talk about when that is, what the binding of the devil is, then we would know when the thousand-year starts. Now, if the Bible never talked about the binding of the devil in any other place, then we would be left to guess. But it so happens that this binding of the devil is discussed in any number of other biblical texts, and if we can understand them rightly, then we have the easy key to know when the millennium starts.
Okay. How would you describe the binding of Satan in terms of the rest of the scriptural material?
Well, Jesus tells a parable, and this is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Maybe Matthew 12 would be a good place to look. Jesus is casting out demons, and the Pharisees come, the enemies of the gospel, and they say, hey, you are casting out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. And Jesus kind of launches into a rebuttal to that, and in the middle of his rebuttal, he's going to tell a parable. So Matthew 12, verse 29, Jesus says, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? So Jesus tells this little parable about how, and it's not, you know, Jesus is not giving us instructions on how to loot somebody's house. He's giving us a parable, in fact, on what he's doing. So he says the devil is the strong man, and as long as he sits in his house, his goods are at peace. But if a stronger than him, this is from Luke, comes and binds him, then he can loot the house. And Jesus is giving this parable as a demonstration about how he is able to cast out demons, so that he has already in his ministry come and bound the devil so that he can rescue people from the devil's authority and from the darkness of the devil's kingdom.
What I see here, Brian, is that you shifted the focus away from some kind of arbitrary point at the end times back to Jesus' cross. Is that important? Here, we got a couple minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. This is what the revelation is. It's a revelation of Jesus. That's what the very first book of the verse of the book of the Revelation says, the revelation of Jesus. It's not the revelation of the things that will happen at the end. It's not a revelation of God's wrath. It's not a revelation of anger. It's a revelation of the Lamb who was slain, who sits on the throne. And if we're reading the book of Revelation or any of the Bible and looking at it as a kind of chronology of the things that will happen right before the end, we're reading it totally wrong. It's given to us so that we would see Jesus, the one who died for our sins, rose to overcome our death, and now rules and reigns all things for the sake of us, his church. If we miss that, we miss what the revelation is about.
Then with about 30 seconds here, how would you describe the right understanding of these seven verses here? What is Jesus, through St. John, describing for us?
Well, Peter already preached it on Pentecost, that when Jesus ascended, he took his seat at the right hand of God, the throne of David, and now he rules and reigns, so that the one who is ruling and reigning in the universe, who is putting all things under his feet, is the same one who died for you, the same one who shed his blood to cover all of your sins, the one who loves you enough to bear the burden of the wrath of God that you deserve. That is the one who sits at God's right hand right now for you. And that's the thing that is being revealed to us for our great comfort.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He co-hosts a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He's editor of Around the Word Devotions. We'll post links to these devotions and to Table Talk Radio at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, thank you very much.
You got it.
When we come back, we're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the historic lectionary, Pastor David Peterson will be our guest. This coming Sunday is called Ex Audi, and it simply means here. It comes from one of the Psalms that we'll hear on this coming Sunday. It is a plea on the part of the believer who's been promised by Jesus last Sunday that whatever we ask in his name, he will do. Now the believer prays to God to keep that promise. Hear, O Lord. We'll get into the theme of this coming Sunday morning, according to the historic lectionary, with Pastor David Peterson in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.